Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with The Mystery of Providence by John Flavel. And last time we finished an overall part one, The Evidence of Providence. And the last chapter in that part was chapter seven, The Work of Sanctification. And that brought us up to beginning an overall part two, which is called Meditation on the Providence of God. And which brings us to chapter 8 of the book, and that is called The Duty of Meditation on Providence. Now, this is a pretty short chapter, and then he gets into a couple of longer ones, which we will plan to break up into multiple parts. But for this one, this short one, we'll go ahead and, Lord willing, do that for this reading. And I'll go ahead and begin, again, chapter 8, The Duty of Meditation on Providence, part of a larger section called Meditation on the Providence of God. Mr. Flavel says, having proved the affairs of the people of God to be conducted by the care of special providence, and given instances of what influence providence has upon those interests and concerns of theirs, we come in the next place to prove it to be the duty of the people of God to meditate upon these performances of providence for them at all times, but especially in times of difficulty and trouble. This is our duty because God has expressly commanded it and called his people to make the most serious reflections upon his works, whether of mercy or judgment. So when that most dreadful of all judgments was executed upon his professing people, for their apostasy from God, and God had removed the symbols of his presence from among them, the rest are bidden to go, that is, by their meditations, to send at least their thoughts to Shiloh and see what God did to it, Jeremiah 7, verse 12. So for mercies, God calls us to consider and review them. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Micah 6, verse 5. As much as to say, if you do not reflect upon that signal providence, my righteousness will be covered, and your unrighteousness uncovered. So for God's works of providence concerning the creatures, we are called to consider them that we may prop up our faith by those considerations for our own supplies, Matthew 6, 28. It is plain that this is our duty because the neglect of it is everywhere in Scripture condemned as a sin. To be careless and unobservant is very displeasing to God, and so much appears by that scripture, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, Isaiah 26, verse 11. Nay, it is a sin which God threatens and denounces woe against in his word, Psalm 28, verses 4 and 5, and Isaiah 5, verses 12 and 13. Yea, God not only threatens, but smites men with visible judgments for this sin, Job 34, verses 26 and 27. And for this end and purpose, it is that the Holy Ghost has affixed notes of attention, such as, behold, to the narratives of the works of providence in Scripture. All these invite and call men to a due and deep observation of them. For example, in that great and celebrated work of providence in delivering Israel out of Egyptian bondage, you find a note of attention twice affixed to it, Exodus 3, verses 2 and verse 9. Again, when that daring enemy Rabshakeh that put Hezekiah and all the people into such a consternation was defeated by providence, there is a note of attention prefixed to that providence. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, 2 Kings 19, verse 7. When God glorifies his wisdom and power in delivering his people from their enemies and ensnaring the latter, the enemies, in the works of their own hands, a double note of attention is affixed to that double work of providence. Hygieion Selah, Psalm 9, verse 16. Also, at the opening of every seal, which contains a remarkable series or branch of providence, how particularly is attention commanded to every one of them? Come and see, come and see, Revelation 6, verses 1 to 7. All these are very useless and superfluous additions in Scripture if no such duty lies upon us because of them. See Psalm 66, verse 5. Without due observation of the works of providence, no praise can be rendered to God for any of them. Praise and thanksgiving for mercies depend upon this active observation of them and cannot be performed without it. Psalm 107 is spent in narrating God's providential care of men, to his people in difficulties, verses 4 to 6, to prisoners in their bonds, verses 10 through 12, to men that lie languishing upon beds of sickness, verses 17 to 19, to seamen or seafaring men upon the stormy ocean, verse 23, to men in times of famine, verses 33 through 40. Yea, his providence is displayed in all those changes that occur in the world, debasing the high and exalting the low, verses 40 and 41. And at every paragraph, men are called upon to praise God for each of these providences. Verse 43 shows you what a necessary ingredient to that duty observation is. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So that of necessity, God must be defrauded of his praise if this duty is neglected. Now, without this, we lose the usefulness and benefit of all the works of God for us or others, which would be an unspeakable loss indeed to us. This is the food our faith lives upon in days of distress. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness, Psalm 74, verse 14, or in other words, food to their faith. From providences past, saints argue to fresh and new ones to come. So David, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. So Paul, who hath delivered and in whom also we trust that he will yet deliver, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10. If these are forgotten or not considered, the hands of faith hang down. How is it that ye do not remember, neither consider, Matthew 16 verse 9. This is a topic from which the saints have often drawn their arguments in prayer for new mercies. As when Moses prays for continued or new pardons for the people, he argues from what was past, as thou hast forgiven them from Egypt until now, Numbers 14, verse 19. So the church argues for new providences upon the same ground Moses pleaded for new pardons, Isaiah 51, verses 9 and 10. Now, it is a vile slighting of God not to observe what he manifests of himself in his providences. For in all providences, especially in some, he comes near to us. He does so in his judgments. I will come near to you in judgment, Malachi 3 verse 5. He comes near in mercies also. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, Psalm 145, verse 18. Yea, he is said to visit us by his providence when he corrects us, Hosea 9, verse 7, and when he saves and delivers, Psalm 106, verse 4. These visitations of God preserve our spirits, Job 10, verse 12, and it is a wonderful condescension in the great God to visit us so often, every morning and every moment, Job 7, verse 18. But not to take notice of it is a vile and brutish contempt of God, Isaiah 1, verse 3 and Zephaniah 3, verse 2. You would not do so to a man for whom you have any respect. It is the character of the wicked not to regard God's favors, Isaiah 26, verse 10, or his frowns, Jeremiah 5, verse 3. In a word, men can never order their addresses to God in prayer suitable to their conditions without due observation of his providences. Your prayers are to be suitable to your conditions. Sometimes we are called to praise, sometimes to humiliation. In the way of his judgments, you are to wait for him, Isaiah 26, verse 8, to prepare to meet him, Zephaniah 2, verses 1 and 2, and Amos 4, verse 12. Sometimes your business is to turn away his anger, which you see approaching, and sometimes you are called to praise him for mercies received, Isaiah 12, verses 1 and 2, but then you must first observe them. Now, thus you find the matter of David's psalms still varied according to the providences that befell him, but one who is unobservant and careless can never do that. And thus you have the grounds of the duty briefly presented. All right, and that brings us to the end of this short chapter, chapter 8, the duty of meditation on providence, and brings us to chapter 9, which is called How to Meditate on the Providence of God. But like I said, that's quite a bit longer, so rather than combine like part 1 with this reading, we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then Lord willing, go on to chapter 9 the next time. But until then, go contemplating God's providences in your life, and may he grant us help to be constantly observing these things and not just pass through life without thinking about his loving kindness, his gracious and merciful hand upon our lives. And may these things bring us to humility, considering his great condescension that he even bothers. And then in praise and prayers and in seeking him in help and for his continued care and providence. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.